Everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Women Over 50 Life Redesigned. I am Shelley, and I'm your host for this podcast. Super glad you have joined us for today's episode with Barb Provost, creator of Purse Strings, just a great organization that helps women become financially fearless. And today we talk about why women, even though we are a powerful demographic, when we, 95% of us, make the financial decisions in the household, why we are overlooked and underserved by financial organizations, and some things you can start to do today to become financially fearless. And Barb also talks about the services offered by Purse Strings. Before we get started with this episode with Barb, a couple of things. Barb and her gang do a live stream in the Facebook group every Monday morning at 10 o'clock. Make sure you join the group. Get this great, fabulous, free resource. And also, I'm going to ask you to become a podcast supporter. $5 a month can get you all sorts of goodies and help me keep this DIY independent podcast free of ads and sponsors. Okay, friends, on to my episode with Barbara.
So when I worked inside organizations, building education and training, I could see, for instance, the marketing material, the way that families were presented. Oftentimes it would be a white woman holding the hand of a white male skipping down the beach with a boy and a girl. And like, this is our consumer. And I'll never forget, I held that up to somebody and this woman goes, "Yeah, I just got divorced. That makes me mad." And I would see where they had a process to sell a product, you know, and they had their defined sales process. And if you didn't close the sale or make that purchase, they'd move on. And oftentimes women don't purchase the first time they're introduced to a product or a service. A lot of times they just want to think about it and noodle it around. And this is very common behavior. I have examples of women will go shopping for something as simple as a black skirt and try on several different black skirts and maybe not buy any of them, but we leave thinking accomplished. We have information. We know what's there when we want, right? And if something sticks with us, we'll go back and get it. But so often the financial institutions think they didn't buy, I'm moving on.
Oh, so they obviously don't understand. Yeah, they don't understand that market, that demographic.
They don't understand. And oftentimes they don't look at the woman as the financial person. They don't respect and honor the woman as what she brings to the table and are very, very, very dismissive of women. So those are just three examples.
It's interesting that you say that, because as someone who puts together fundraising events, do you know who most of the majority of it's women who I talk to? It's women who write the check. It's women who pull out their credit card. You know, I very rarely, it's, you know, I'll get checks and it's the woman who signs the check. Even, you know, she's married, partnered up. So I just find that really interesting. So that's a lack of understanding of
huge disconnect there. Yeah. And women do influence 95% of the financial decisions in the household. Mm-hmm. And so they are an extremely powerful market.
Yeah, exactly. That's been my experience as well. So another thing you say is that that women, this obviously powerful demographic of women who can pull out their credit card and do their things, is underplanned for their financial future, you know, spending retirement years cobbling together to pay her bills. And when I read that, I thought it was interesting. This may be something that we chat about in the as we go along, but I spent 8 years raising kids and did not work outside the home. So, you know, when you look at my ability to retire as opposed to someone else who started working at 20 and, you know, continued in the workforce. So I looked at that and I thought, oh, am I going to have to be cobbling together jobs for my retirement? Because I missed out on 8 years of, you know, paying into the system of Social Security and 401ks and all that stuff. So I read that and I thought, oh, that's probably going to be me.
Well, and it's not so much because you weren't in the workforce. I mean, you might have had other investments or things that were taken care of at the time. What compounds that is that women are not having those discussions during their lifetime.
Yeah.
And the financial professional isn't overseeing the fact that you might not be earning money, but there are other ways to make sure that you are financially set in your retirement. So if the women are not at the table having engaged conversations, because the planning for the man is different than the planning for the woman. And if those are not done differently, and the woman is unaware of what's going on or plans being made, then she will not. Too many women have deer in the headlights when things happen and are like, I just didn't know.
Well, and that, you know, going back to, I was young and I guess I just didn't realize the impact of not working for 8+ years, you know, that financially, how that could impact me. Let's talk a little bit more about why you created Purse Strings. I mean, we did go into that a little bit, but if you want to elaborate on some of the reasons you created Purse Strings and what you want women to know about it.
Yeah. So as I worked in the financial industry and could see and observe that women were not being, you know, taken care of by the financial industry, I went through a divorce about 8 years ago, and I navigated that divorce process with a group of other women that I was fortunate enough to meet. But I heard them say things, Shelly, like, I'm not quite sure of the cash flow in my household. I don't know really exactly how much my husband makes. I don't know if I can afford this, or I've never paid the bills. And so many uncertainties around some fairly fundamental financial things that women at that point in their life should know about. And I thought, it's interesting that these women who are smart, educated, well-rounded, I mean, they are brilliant women, but this was an area that they have either shunned away from or given over to somebody else or just never paid attention to. And so I was seeing too many women, you know, of retirement age taking these little jobs. So I commissioned a researcher to say, you know, how is the financial industry serving women? Like, this is not Barb says, this was my observation. So I needed to validate it. And how are women doing for their financial future? And scads of data came back that said, and this is a quote, that the insurance and financial industry wins the award as being the least sympathetic to women, and that women are woefully underprepared for their financial future. And I thought, why is there such a gap? So I held a lot of focus groups and gathered even more data. Women would say to me, they don't even look at me. You know, there's all these reasons. I don't trust them. They're trying to sell me a product. So there's this huge gap. And I thought, as an adult educator, which is my background, I could provide women kind of a safe space to come, a one-stop shop, if you will, where we hand out free education, training, tools, and resources so that women have this information and knowledge and skill that they need to make smart financial decisions. And then the other part of it is, okay, I know I need to work with a divorce attorney. I know I need to buy a house. I know I need to sell a house. I know I need some financial planning. I know I need a whatever. Who do I go to for this service? Who can I trust? So we scour far and wide all these different areas and really pull the top financial professionals who know a female market, are already serving a female market, understand the plight. They could tell me chapter and verse what women need, and we make them our Purse Strings approved professionals, and we promote those professionals to communities of women. And that's why, because I want all women to be what I say is financially fearless, the tools and resources they need and the right professionals that will serve them.
So this really goes to the next question that I'm going to ask, but you're part of my Women Over 50 group. And I know a lot of times in there, women are asking questions about, you know, I wish I could retire, or I don't think I have enough money, or I'm not going to be able to retire till I'm 90. And I'm assuming that you work with all ages of women. It's not just, you know,
yes, we do.
Us gals over 50, it's all ages of women. Yes. So it's a two-part question. So we'll start with the first part first, obviously. See how brilliant I am today, Barb. The younger women, what can they do to start securing their financial future right now?
That's a great question, because, you know, when I started Purse Strings, I was really focusing on women in transition, you know, either leaving a job, getting divorced, getting remarried, loss of a husband, whatever it might be. And at the same time, I was raising a daughter and thought, you know what? I don't want her to land in this place at 50 or whatever it might be, where there's all this uncertainty. I don't want her or any woman. And she was leaving she was navigating this whole building of this business with me. So she heard all the stories and she was at the table with me many times. And so now that she's graduated with her MBA, she's my business partner, and her focus are those women who are starting to find their own footing, earning their own money, and really starting out on the right foot. So those women, and you know, the interesting thing is, Shelley, many will say, they don't have any money, why would I focus on them? But these are high potential earners that, you know, she does have college debt, she doesn't own any home. So there's not a lot there right there. But, you know, as these young women start to get married, they're going to need life insurance, they're having children, they're going to buy either a condo or maybe a home, they're going to start earning their own salaries, you know, they're going to need financial plans for themselves and their families. Whatever their trajectory is, whether they're single or whatever it is, they are going to start accumulating money, and we want that those good money habits to start right out of the gate. And understand, like you said, you know, when you were married, you didn't realize the impact of not working to your retirement. There are ways to still save for your retirement, even if you're not working or leaving the workforce. And so many women are pulled from the workforce. So we like to start, or she really wants to address that area of life challenges. I'm the more midlife, retirement life challenges. So we're really trying to address the needs of women where they are in their life.
So back to the second part of the question then, with women over 50, I think the reality for some women is they may not ever really get to retire. I mean, you know, if you're knocking on 60, 65, 70, and you just don't have any funds, you may not be able to retire. What can women do? You know, women, like, I don't know, 55-year-olds are thinking, man, I'd like to retire in 10 years, but I don't really know that I can. They may have more resources than they really think they have. So what can a woman who's turning 50 do to start planning, if she hasn't up to that point really had a solid plan for retirement?
Well, first and foremost, you need to know where you stand. Mm-hmm. Like you said, she might have more resources than she's aware of, right?
Yeah.
And so what are your assets? What are your liabilities? You know, what is it that you do own? And, you know, some people might have a 401k, an inheritance coming their way. They might have, you know, Social Security that they're, you know, how do I take that? When do they take that? When do I take that? There's a lot of decision making around that. So first and foremost, you kind of know, where do I stand? Am I in a house that's paid off, or a house with the mortgage? Do I have any, you know, what's the value in that? Do I have any other values? You know, what are the expenses I have? So you really, everybody's different. You need to understand where you stand financially, and you may not even know where to start with that piece.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's okay, because, you know, it's complicated, but you need someone to help you understand where you are financially. Now, you need to invest in either a financial coach or a money coach, of which we have some excellent resources on our site that are going to stand back and go, okay, let's start where you are. Let's see where you're at and gather this, gather that, look for this, look for that. Maybe ask all sorts of questions to really gather what are your assets and what are your liabilities, and let's see where you stand. Because you can't make a plan, you know, you can't drive to Florida if you don't know if you're sitting in Chicago or sitting in California, yeah. Right?
A good point. Yeah, exactly.
You need to know where you are today. And I can't say this enough, start now. Know where you're at, start now. It's kind of like peel back, you know, rip off the Band-Aid and make a plan. You know, 50 is not too late. I mean, there are decisions people can make, and there's lots of things going on in the world that you can make yourself some income.
Yeah.
You need to know how to make educated decisions, you know, around all of that. And you need to work with professionals. So people say, well, I don't have a lot of money. How can I afford to work with a money coach? Look, they're going to save you a lot more money in the long run than what you invest to work with the money coach. And they're professionals, and they need to get paid like everybody else needs to get paid.
Oh, exactly.
So it's an investment in yourself is what I say.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. My daughter is 35 or 36. I don't know how old she is. Isn't that awful? Sorry, Amber. But she is so financially savvy. I'm actually quite proud of her. You know, she and her husband make a lot of money together. And, you know, they were told by realtors, you know, you could buy half a million dollar home. And Amber's like, well, why would we want to do that? You know, so, you know, they make really good, solid financial decisions, which I think they get from their dad. But so I just see, some of the women coming up now are, for however they got, you know, that information, they just seem to, the women I know just seem to be, Amber knew that when she quit work to have Cecily, that she would no longer be contributing to Social Security. I'm like, I didn't even know that when I was your age. I had no clue.
Yeah.
So, but I do find it so interesting that, why do you think it's that women are such an overlooked demographic in terms of these markets that you talked about, the insurance market and things like that? I mean, I think you alluded to it a little bit where they think that women just don't have the money, but I really think women probably, you know, rule the roost at the house. I would think they're the ones that make these, like we talked about earlier, they're the ones that are making these decisions on what to buy.
Yeah. So. You're spot on. Women, even if they aren't earning the income, they influence 95% of the purchasing decisions in the household. Aww. So that means they're buying all the groceries, they're buying the cleaning supplies, Aww. They're buying the children's clothes, they're buying, you know, all of the products, they're, you know, paying, some are paying the bills, you know. And so they are a hugely overlooked demographic. And I think it stems from a very old culture in the financial and insurance industry. They're still looking, it's a very male-dominated industry. So many of the behaviors are still, I just shake my head or put my hands in my face every day, because I can't imagine the way some women are continually being treated, overlooked, underserved. And it's not just the insurance and financial industry. I mean, how many times does you go to buy a car, the salesman goes up to the man, what do you want? She's buying the car. Okay, well, you know, and they're not going to even talk to you. Mm-hmm. I think that it's the way, the enculturation of how we see women. although we're making little tiny changes day by day, we're seeing women in places we've never seen them before, like on the football field or managing, you know, baseball teams or in the White House. And, you know, we're starting to make strides, but even making strides, we're very, very still suppressed in so many ways. We make 82 cents on the dollar. I mean, think about it. Yeah. Women have to overeducate themselves to be on par with salary with men. And what happens then? They are carrying the largest brunt of student loans. Yeah. Then they're leaving the workforce. Then they're not getting, you know, the contributions to the retirement. So I just think it's an enculturation in an old model that really needs to be revamped.
Oh, that's fascinating, sad in a fascinating and sad sort of way, because I guess I've never had that sort of dealing. I've bought probably 3 or 4 cars in my adult life, and I've always gone by myself. I never took a man with me because I kind of knew then that would be the point of conversation. Like, well, what do you want? Well, she's buying a car. Well, what does she want?
That was
Laugh
smart.
Her, you know. And it's interesting that
smart, yeah.
Yeah. So I flashed on something when we talked about women having the decision-making power in a household, basically most of the time. Dove? One of the soaps that they started making brands for men looked at the commercials they made and really geared the commercials, although it was about men, it smelled good with their Dove man soap or whatever. The commercials were really geared to the woman. And I had read an article that said, you know, this was a brilliant marketing campaign because women buy their men's soap. So we want women to buy their men Dove soap. So instead of gearing the commercial to the man, they geared the commercial to the woman. And they had a really, really successful campaign with that. So I thought that I flashed on that when you were talking about that. So back to, this isn't a question we talked about asking, but going back to, you know, the situation with a car is really pretty typical, or any big purchase, you know, if you go with somebody, with a male partner, what can women do to sort of break through that stereotype? One of the things I did was I really educated myself on the car I wanted and how much it would cost me and how much financing I could get beforehand. And you know, how much I could have for a down payment. I really educated myself on that stuff before I went. I guess that's one way women can do that when they're making big purchases and not feel like they're being steamrolled by.
Yeah. And that's very smart. I mean, knowing what you want before you go in so that you're not sold to sold something that you maybe in the long run didn't really want. So, it's about educating yourself, but it's also about knowing that your money is power, right? Mm-hmm. So women are the most powerful market. They control $23 trillion of world money. So that's a lot of money. And women are coming into the largest transference of wealth in history with the baby boomer aging population. So women need to know that they are powerful and their money is powerful, and many people would love to have their money.
Yeah.
So I think we all need to, step up and expect to be treated with respect and dignity. And if we're not, you just turn on your heel and you leave.
Yes.
Because, right?
Yes.
I mean, there's too many times where we have been treated words have been used, you know, hi, honey, hey, honey, how are you today type things, or we don't need that. We are powerful. Our money is powerful, and you'd be lucky to have it and have me as your customer. It's about respect. It's about dignity. It's about all of that. And if you're not getting it, forget about it.
Yeah. Preach
That's
it.
What I
That's
say.
Yeah. That was really good. Excellent. So before we wrap up the interview, a couple more things.
Sure.
my Facebook group is on a hiatus. We do this once a year. We take a whole month off. We come back. And you
Good for
and
you.
A group of your women were coming in every Monday. I hope that you will continue to do that. Come in every Monday and doing like basically a free thing for the women in my group. So anyone listening, I want to encourage you to make sure that you check out all the recordings in the group. You can still get in the group and go look at the replays. And then Barb and her gang will be back at the end of June again. So really, and your topics are just really like, they're interesting. I can't think of any off the top of my head, but it's not like this boring, okay, we're going to sit down and teach you how to do a savings account. I mean, you've talked about real estate and you've talked, I mean, it's just been a really fascinating set of conversations in the group.
Great.
And I love your model with purse strings. I really think it's, and the services are free, correct? From your professional.
Free for women. Everything is free. Yeah.
So
what Purse Strings offers is free tools, resources, everything on our site. We want to give it away because we want to arm women with knowledge and skills and whatever. Now, when you work with professionals, they have their own fees, of course. As professionals, they need to get paid. We ask people to be very transparent about their fees. And you may see when we're talking with a professional, we'll often say, so when somebody works with you, what do you charge? You know, let's just get it out there on the table. And my daughter facilitates a lot of these, Maggie, and she'll say, is it $100 to work with you? Is it $1,000 or is it $5,000? Like, we don't know. Women don't know going in, and women don't always like to talk about money or ask price. You need to ask up front, what do you charge? Not that that's dismissive. It's let's be clear about, you know, how we're going to work together here. And so of course you would pay for their services, but what we offer as Purse Strings is a safe space, free educational content. If you have a question you don't see out there that's answered, just send it to us. We'll get it answered for you. We want women to have this resource.
Cool. I love that. So you have what are called Purse Strings approved professionals.
Right.
How do you become a Purse Strings approved professional?
Yeah, great question. So what we do is we look for top tier financial professionals in the professions of, you know, attorneys, anything women need, realtors, lenders, financial advisors, money coaches, and typically they're referred to us by other Purse Strings approved professionals who know Purse Strings and know the network and know what we're looking for. Sometimes we do come across those professionals that we can just tell are probably a good fit for our network. We have a conversation with them and we let them do the talking, and we can tell fairly immediately, as you can in any kind of sales transaction, who are they focusing on? What are the words that they're using? What can they tell me about their own experiences? All of that. And many people will come to us and go, oh, I know about Purse Strings. And, you know, this is what I do. This is how I do it. And they are serving a female market and they have validation from other people. Of course, for those who hold licenses, we ensure that they are indeed licensed and there's no dings on their record. So we really vet those professionals that are going to serve a female market. And then what we do is they become part of our Purse Strings approved network. And we promote them to communities of women and say, look, you need a realtor. Look, we've got realtors. We want women, again, to take advantage and educate themselves like we do, like you did with just buying a car, on, you know, financial services, anything that they need. It may seem intimidating to them, but our site is very user-friendly. And if they just don't know where to get started, they can just send us an email and we'll help them along. But also we house on there a whole list of profiles. You can just go through and select what you want. We say, you know, interview a couple of them. Don't go with the first one. I mean, some people do find the first one and fall in love and like, that's my person. Great. But we want women to have a selection of professionals that they can choose to do business with. And then that way it's not so scary. They've educated themselves or working with professionals who are part of their financial team. And, that's what we're all about. That's when the model works like that, as it's been working, it just warms our heart.
What a great service. And a lot of people, you know, when you talk about financial stuff, they don't always think of an attorney or real estate. You know, they just think of a banker or, you know, an insurance person or something like that. But yeah, what a great, well-rounded group of people it sounds like you have there at Purse Strings. So Barb, before we let you go, and I'll put all this information down in the show notes, but where can my listeners find you?
Yeah. So our website is pursestrings.co. It's not .com because I am an entrepreneur and to buy the .com was $85,000. So couldn't afford it. So yeah, it's crazy. So pursestrings.co. Again, this is a labor of love funded by yours truly, but all well worth it. I love what I do every day. I love working with my daughter. It's a passion.
I didn't
project.
Know Maggie just, was. Did I know Maggie? Did I know she was your daughter? Because I know that she's the one that comes in the is in the group and does all the stuff behind the scenes. I didn't know Maggie was your daughter. that's cute.
Yeah, she's great. Yeah. So pursestrings.co, and we're on. We have our own Facebook group. It's our Facebook group for financially fearless women. We also have, we're on Instagram, we're on Twitter, we're on Pinterest. So we're all over social media where women hang out. Our goal is, you know, if I could ask you and your audience, spread the Purse Strings word. Let your sister, your mothers, your aunts, your daughters know that this is a free resource that's out there and available to them. And we want to make sure women have this resource and that they can get their questions answered and get those ahas or, oh, I should do this. I mean, there's so much out there to learn, but if you learn in small doses as you go along the way, you'll be surprised how financially fearless you can be.
Yeah, that's, you know, to me, it seems like one of those scary topics that people, you know, don't quite know how to broach, especially if you, you know, like just spend decades not knowing about these things. So yeah, it's a great topic, great group. And like I said earlier, you're in my group every week with lots of freebies. So gosh, if you don't take advantage of that, well, then I don't know what to tell you. So, okay, Barb, well, thank you so much for joining us. It
thank
was a
you,
great conversation. So, and to all my listeners,
I appreciate you and I appreciate your group.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. Okay, to all my listeners out there, until next time, stay awesome.